The third Sunday of Advent. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always, but again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near, have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, the Jews sent to John from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he acknowledged and did not deny, and he acknowledged, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou the prophet?" And he said, "No." Therefore they said to him, "Who art thou, that we may give answer to those who sent us? What hast thou to say of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord, as said Isaiah the prophet." And they who had been sent were from among the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, "Why then dost thou baptize, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John said to them in answer, "I baptize with water, but in the midst of you there has stood one whom you do not know. He it is who is to come after me, who has been set up above me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to loose." And these things took place at Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. In the 1920s and 30s, there arose a certain notion, a certain idea in the church. And that was that personal piety, personal devotion, is not really that important. That is, it is a good thing, it's kind of the icing on the cake. It's good when people do that, but it's not really essential to the effectiveness of the church in giving graces. So we're here to receive grace from our Lord, and the idea is that grace is given at the Mass primarily and through the sacrament secondarily, and then personal devotions, although nice, really aren't that important. The idea is based in the theology, basically the traditional theology of the church, and that is the fact that grace is given in the sacraments, in a sense, infallibly. The term is ex opere operato. That is, when the sacrament is done in the proper way, then grace is given. So here at Mass, for the consecration, you have to have valid matter. That is, you have to have bread made from wheat. You can't have rye bread or potato bread or anything. You have to have wine made from grapes. You can't have grape juice or plum wine or wine with a lot of additives in it. Like we were taught in the seminary that you can't use French wine to say Mass because they add a lot of stuff in. They'll add like blueberry juice or chocolate or something like that to give the wine a lot of flavors. And that actually makes it invalid for Mass. So you have to have really just grape wine. If you have the proper matter, and then you have the proper minister, that is an ordained priest, with the proper intention, that is to do what the church does. Priest doesn't even have to really have full belief in the Mass, really, honestly, as long as he intends to do what the church does. And he says the proper form, "This is my body, this is my blood." Then the sacrament occurs. It occurs by the very, as it says, as the very doing of the action. Ex opere operato is the Latin term. And this goes back to the medieval times, and even earlier than that, the church has always taught this. It is not by the holiness or sanctity of the priest by which the sacrament occurs. The priest can actually, even though this is very bad to happen, the priest doesn't have to be in a state of grace. Of course, he'll have to answer for that, but the sacrament will still occur. And that goes with all the sacraments. For confession, you have to have the proper matter, the proper form. You have to have proper matter, that is sins, and also you have to have the priest with the with saying the proper absolution formula, and it occurs. It doesn't have anything to do with the piety of the priest, or really, in a sense, the piety of the faithful. Because why is this? This is because Christ himself does the sacraments. In some mysterious way, Christ is united to the priest, and it is Christ himself who does it. This is why it is, "This is my body." This is why at confession the priest says, "I absolve you," because it is Christ doing this. And because it is Christ, all we have to do is just make sure the proper matter and form are there, and the right minister, and then it will occur infallibly. Grace will be given, without a doubt. Now, in the Mass and other liturgical functions, we have additional prayers. So the Mass is more than just the consecration. We also have a lot of the prayers, the beautiful offertory prayers, and then the prayers after communion. We have, in the extraordinary form, the old rite, we have the last gospel, which is said. So we have a lot of these beautiful things in addition to the very sacrament itself. Now, these also are effective means of grace. That is, they are effective in doing what they intend to do, and that is, whatever we're praying for, they affect that grace. So you have to look at the particular prayer at what it is saying, and they give that grace. You know, whenever we do a baptism, there's a lot of additional prayers in a baptism, anointings, and some extra prayers, and those again are the same thing. The little blessings that you receive the absolution in confession, but then the priest gives you a little blessing also afterwards, and that would be under the same category. And these are effective in dispensing grace, not because Christ does them, but because the church does them. The church is the originator of these prayers, and they have changed over time. A lot of these things were added, and historians can tell you when certain prayers were added or modified, or at least outside the canon. The canon is goes back as far as we can determine. But some of the other things, like the last gospel, some of the other prayers, these have been added. But they are still effective because the church does them. The minister, the priest, who is praying in the name of the church, and because of that, they are able to give grace. But they give grace differently. In the first case, in the sacraments, it is Christ himself. In this category, it is the church. The church is doing it. And so the Latin term for this would be ex opere operantis ecclesiae. Ex opere operantis ecclesiae. That is, grace is given by the doing of the action of the church. By the doing of the church doing it. It's not the action itself, it's because the church is doing it. So the priest is doing it in the name of the church, or any type of liturgy. So the liturgy of the hours, or the divine office as it is traditionally called, this would be another type of this prayer that is done in the name of the church that gives grace because it is done in the name of the church. Sacramentals. If you remember, we talked about sacramentals a few weeks ago. Those are under the same category because it is something that has been established by the church. The grace is given because the church is the one who is doing those prayers, in essence. You can think about it. Although sacramentals, we can also have actions and things like that. But because of the church has this involvement in it, they are effective means of grace. And so these liturgists and other theologians back about 80 years ago began this notion, and they said, well, if that's the case, then the personal piety of the individual really isn't that important in receiving grace. because Christ himself and the sacraments, infallibly, when done properly, the grace is there. And the church in her rituals, both in the liturgy itself and sacramentals and other things, the grace is available. So the person's personal devotion really isn't that important. And like I said, this began in the 20s and 30s. And in the 50s, we began to see some of the results of this. If you notice, churches built in the 50s, they begin to then no longer construct them to encourage personal piety, or it's not as important. So you see a lot of the statues disappear, a lot of like shrines and things like that in new construction. They are not there to try to engage you to have a devotion to a saint or something like that. So churches were constructed without maybe for the use of candles or things like that. And then in the 1970s, anyone who lived through it will remember, things went a step further, and that is this notion then began to take over other churches, and that is the idea was, well, then we need to remove a lot of these items for personal devotion. So that's when really the statues then began to be removed from churches, and you don't see a lot of candles in churches these days. There's no more, or at least at that time, a lot of the devotions in churches would end. So like here at our church, we have devotion to Padre Pio. We also have devotions to St. Anne. And those type of things would slowly die out in the 70s, partially because I think there was this bias against them, but also because they weren't being taught, so people slowly stopped going to them and they slowly just died out. So we lost the devotional life in the church. Notions of the scapular or of the sacramentals were lost. If you talk to a lot of kids today, or I should say people who grew up in the 70s, 80s, and 90s in the church, they might not have ever heard of sacramentals, the scapular, or the miraculous medal, these type of things, or even just getting an image blessed. The idea of bringing a crucifix to be blessed, people just don't know this. The idea of doing the Stations of the Cross, that is lost these days. And so what we see is the fruit of this, of these theories a lot of times, where there is not a lot of personal devotion, a lot of personal piety being encouraged by the church, or even being practiced by the faithful. And when I say practiced by the faithful, that includes the clerics, the priests also. We're losing this idea. Unfortunately, there was a warning concerning this theory, and it pretty much went unheeded. It was a warning by Pope Pius XII in his encyclical letter Mediator Dei, where he does talk about this idea, the fact that personal piety is nice, but not really important, where either it is not really spoken about, or just passed over in silence, or it is openly discouraged. And he says, this is a pernicious error. This is wrong. Absolutely wrong. Personal devotion is vitally important in the life of the church. It is vitally important in the individual's life. Why is that? And he teaches this in the letter. He says, why is that? Because although we know that the sacraments occur by the power of Christ, and although we know the rest of the liturgy occurs through the church praying, the fact is that those graces are there, available, but they have to be distributed to the individual. And the individual will only receive grace to the degree at which they are open to that grace. And the way a person becomes open to grace is through their personal devotion, their personal practices, their personal piety. Why is that? Because this is the way in which we develop our will to really love, to love the things of heaven, to love God, by practicing our personal devotions. This is critically important. We do have the greatest treasure here, but it only comes to us as much as we are open to it. This is why in the Catechism, We talk about when, you know, we teach the little kids when they come for First Communion that we want them to be fervent and to be ready to receive our Lord. But it's that fervor that's important. And even after First Communion, we talk about that. When you come to receive Communion, you want to be as fervent as possible, ready to receive our Lord. Why? Because that opens you up to more graces. You know, theoretically, all the graces are that anyone would ever need for their whole life is available here at this Mass. So theoretically, you'd only need to go to one Mass for your whole life, and you receive all the graces there that you would ever need. Why don't each of us receive those graces? Because we cannot have the capacity to receive them. This is why. And so we come to Mass more than once throughout our whole lives to receive the graces as much as we can receive. And the degree at which we can receive grace is based upon our personal devotional life, our personal fervor, our personal piety. These are all kind of synonyms. They're slightly different, but they all point to the same thing. It is important to develop this. Here we're approaching Christmas time, and it's good to think about this because most of us will decorate our houses, we'll set up a little manger scene, we'll set one up here in the church, and it's important to do that in order to not just decorate, oh, doesn't it look good, but to develop our personal devotion. Christmas is such a big feast because it is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and every one of us, it's built into our nature to just have an attraction to a little baby. You bring a little baby out, and people who would be normal adults will immediately, kind of melt and begin to say and certain things to the little baby and do things with the baby. Why? Because there's something about a child that just really opens up the heart to love. And so much more if that child is our Lord Jesus Christ. We turn to Him and we have those feelings that we naturally have towards a baby, but then even more, it can inspire us to devotion and fervor towards our Lord. So it's important to remember this here as we approach Christmas time, that really all the trappings of Christmas are really about encouraging our devotion and love for Christ. Now let us go back to our problem here, and that is this notion that personal piety is not important. The Pope was very clear. He said this in 1947, and if that warning had been heeded, how much better things would have been. Our personal devotions help us to open up towards our Lord, to receive the graces that He wants to give us. As the Holy Father says, these things are not just optional, or these things are not just a good idea, but they are necessary. They are necessary for us to receive grace. We have to encourage, we have to inculcate personal devotions in our life. So not just at Christmas time, but through the whole year. There are devotions at church. There are devotions you can do at home. I've said many times about doing the rosary every day, family rosary, having blessed items and statues at home, images, practicing various indulgenced prayers, like the Stations of the Cross, or other things like that, doing indulgences. You can do, you have devotion to certain saints, St. Jude, St. Rita, St. Michael the Archangel, St. Anne. These are all personal devotions, personal piety, that helps us to develop internally to open up to more graces. The saints are there to help us. You know, I'm reminded of a conference I went to a number of years ago. It was kind of like a diocesan conference. It wasn't one in my religious congregation. And there was an architect there who was speaking on sacred architecture. And he was considered one of the more conservative guys But he wouldn't be what I would call traditional. He wouldn't have designed a traditional-looking church. And in his talk, he showed a traditional reredos, you know, with the statues. And a lot of people were instantly attracted to it. And he says, yes, everybody's always attracted to this. And then he went on with his theory, or the current theory, as to why, quote, this is not the way we should do it. And he went through and basically says that, you know, you shouldn't have this personal one-on-one devotion to a saint, that this kind of takes away from the liturgy. This was one of the what would be considered the conservative theory today. But unfortunately, it's wrong. The Pope was clear on this, that we do want to encourage this. We want to encourage this. So we want to try to open ourselves up to our Lord. It is not just a good idea. It is not just icing on the cake, but it is necessary. Necessary for us to receive grace, for us to have a good personal devotional life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.